plan of the ages. And what in the world, why are we doing that, Hernando? He wants us to understand his plan, doesn't he? When you go out to build a building, how many of you ever worked in any kind of building industry? What is that? Yeah, a little bit. Even if you drill an oil well or you put in a pipeline, you have to have plans to do it, don't you? When you get up in the morning, you have plans for that day, usually, don't you? Sometimes. Sometimes it just happens. But when you cook dinner, sometimes you have to plan what you're going to have. Sometimes this happens. But God has a plan. He had it all the way from eternity past through time that we live in today. We live in time, though. And in all reality, time is just a marked off piece of eternity. That's all it is, just a marked off piece of eternity. We can't understand eternal. It's real hard to understand that. Because what's the length of the time and space? We understand that God came down in time and space and became human flesh in the form of Jesus Christ and lived on this earth and died for our sins. We can understand that a little bit. That happened 2,000 years ago. But that happened as a historical fact. We understand things in space and time. We understand when George Washington lived on this continent, lived on this continent over here. He was one of the called the fathers of this country, the first president. They wanted to make him king, and he said, "Oh, no." He said, "We just got out from underneath that business. Let's don't do that again." Anyway, we can understand those as historical facts. But just as historical and factual as that is the Word of God, and we've been studying about the creation of man. That's where we are now, so you young ladies, you aren't very far behind. We're in the Garden of Eden. Studying about the creation of man. And God created man. He created him a primary creation. And what do I mean by primary? We've gone through that a little bit. What's this primary creation of God? Not a secondary, but a primary creation of God. Where did man come from? Hernando? From the same elements as he created the earth, but man came right straight from the hands of God. Like he created the earth, in the same way that he created the earth, he created man as the dust of the ground, and by the way, it's prophetic also, to be dust. To vote the dust. And a lot of times, that's from the Hebrew. The Hebrew grammar, so many times, when they're translating the King James Bible, it's so influenced people's translations of the scriptures since then that they have refused or overlooked it or whatever to really translate it like it should have been translated. He didn't create him from a mud doll. He created him from the same elements that he created the earth from. And he created the stars from. Last night I asked my wife to come into to our library and I said, "Tell me what this is." And I handed her a little rock. It was a piece of a comet. Piece of a asteroid, whatever you want to call it, that hit the earth. That one over there, a piece of that meteorite that hit in Arizona. Great big meteor crater. I showed her a piece of that thing, but it's hard to see. But you know what? Those elements in that piece of metal, we're related to it. Because we're related to the material creation of God. Jesus Christ was our kinsman redeemer, remember? Kinsman redeemer. He was related to us so he could redeem us back. Not only was it related to us, because we're related to the earth, aren't we? We're made from the same elements. We're akin to it. We're like brothers to the earth. Okay? The American Indians, the Native Americans, my people, they say, talk about Mother Earth, where we come from. It provides all the food for us. Mother Earth. that the God of heaven made and placed upon it. We're going to look in here in the book of Genesis today, and in this little chart there it says the responsibility. It says down there, it says, do not eat. See that? It was more than do not eat. It was more than do not eat. Who was over the earth before man was? Who?
Lucifer.
He was an angel. If you look up at the top part of the chart, it says Satan's path up there. Satan's original name was Lucifer, which means light carrier. Now, he failed in his responsibility before God. We talk about the God's administrations of his kingdom. We call it his eternal purpose. They call it dispensationalism. That God dealt different dispensations with people and man than he did in others. There were periods of time in history and even in eternity past when God dealt with individuals in an administration. How many of you are bosses on your job or over people? All right. Now, you have an administration that you take care of. My wife was showing me her dad's job. He was in the mobile oil company. He was right up there next to the top. Well, I mean, there's only one man above him. He was one of the top dogs. Being high administration. That was an administration or a stewardship that he had. That he took care of. All of us do. I remember when I went to work for Ace Hydraulic, I had a stewardship of administration that I took care of. I fixed pumps to begin with. Pumps and motors. Hydraulic pumps and motors. That was my job. And then finally I worked up the ladder and thought I was taking care of the whole place almost. But the administration changes in periods of time. God put Lucifer over the material creation that was his. It was God's creation. Lucifer failed. He became jealous. In Isaiah 14, it tells you about that. If you look up there in that little Satan's path, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, and Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, you can read the same story in a different light. He became proud. He was a know-it-all. You know what the cross between a skunk and a computer is? A stinking know-it-all. That's what he was. He was proud, and he wanted to usurp his authority and take it above God's. Well, it didn't work. He stood up, God knocked him down. Jesus said he saw him hit the earth like a lightning bolt. We talked about the craters on this earth. We talked about the animals that are found miles deep in the earth. That's when it happened right there. Is when he destroyed that creation of God. Then we see the reconstruction of the earth in Genesis, the first chapter. God rebuilt it. Satan destroyed it. He rebuilt it. By the way, what does the word Satan mean?
One who opposes.
He changed. His name changed from the light carrier or the light bearer to one who opposes God. And now I'll turn to Genesis, the second chapter. We studied basically how that God made Adam. He put him to sleep. And then he took from Adam woman. And woman means out of man, doesn't it? And he didn't take from his rib, as it says in the translations, but he took from his sides. He took from all of his sides. He took from man, and he made out of man, or woman, feminine man. He made her like him. She had two arms and a head and two eyes and a mouth and nose and ears and feet, hands, fingers. She was like Adam. And she corresponded to him. He took them apart and separated this one being, and then he put them back together in marriage. And that's why marriage is so sacred and holy. He put them back together in marriage. But God had something for man to do before that, didn't he? What was part of his administration in this kingdom of God? What was he supposed to do? He told him not to eat. But what was he supposed to do? He said, don't do something, but he told him to do a lot of things. What was the things he was supposed to do? He was supposed to take care of it and guard it. And what did he do? What did we find out that he did at that time? He named all of the animals. Did he communicate with the animals?
Mm-hmm.
He communicated with them. You still communicate with your animals to a certain extent. You could communicate with a fly a little bit. You get a fly swatter out, the fly starts trying to get away. That's communication. You'd be surprised. Get a fly swatter after me. Know what's going on. Well, man did communicate with the animals. He was put over them. He was their caretaker. Have you ever heard idle hands or the what? The devil's workshop. That's true. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. It's not harmful for you to be busy. God gave Adam something to do before he was ever lost, before he had ever sinned. He gave him something to do. It says in verse 15, it says, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim is what it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. To cultivate it and to guard it. That was his administration. He was supposed to take care of it. He was supposed to take care of this material creation of God with all the animals. He was supposed to take care of it. This morning I went on to slop the hogs, fed the chicken, fed the horses, fed the dogs and the cats. I have a little administration to take care of out on the farm. Well, that's something you do. Well, evidently Adam was going out there slopping the hogs or something. He was doing something. Now there's something else here that you need to understand. The animals at this time did not eat each other. There weren't any omnivorous animals. What's omnivorous mean? Eat everything. They didn't eat everything like a hog. And man, you know, you're omnivorous. You eat everything. Man, they eat everything. Some things I don't even want to eat. But Brother Joe, do you have? Did you want to say something?
No, I was trying to find a passage to ask
you. Oh, okay, that's all right. No. I thought you had something to say. He told him to cultivate it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded, again, Jehovah Elohim. Remember what Jehovah means? Jehovah. We don't really know how to say that word. No one ever said the word. Jews never spoke it. You can't say it. We say the word Jehovah, we're really, I don't know whether we're sinning or not.
There was no name?
You couldn't say it. You can't say the name Jehovah. What? Yeah, this is what they say, Yahweh or Yahweh, whatever you want to. They referred to that name as the Word, or to God. Yeah, but I know Elohim is different. That means it comes from El Haya Anim. That means three powerful ones. That's what it means. It's talking about the triune God. But Jehovah is the covenant God. That's the contract God. You know, we have administrations. God made covenants with man. And he made covenant with the angels. There was a contract drawn up between God and Lucifer. Lucifer failed that contract. That contract was nullified. And he put man. He signed another contract with man. Put him in the garden, basically. Well, man is under this contract now here to take care of the material creation of God. And he's got a wife now. God has actually tells you how he took Adam or Eve out of man, and then Adam said that he prophesied that a son would leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they'd become one flesh. And he'd never known that before. They'd never had any children or anything. That, that was something that was going to happen in the future. God made a helper suitable for him. The Lord God, Jehovah, means he who shall become. He who shall become. In John 1:14, that is the fulfillment of that Jehovah title. He who shall become, became. All right? Jesus became. God left eternity and entered time and space in the form of Jesus Christ. That's when Jehovah became flesh. That word, Jehovah, means he who shall become. And the first time that is used in the Hebrew Bible is in Genesis 1 and verse 2, and it says, the earth, she became formless and void. She became. That's the root word. It's high eyes, the root word of the word Jehovah. But remember, that word was never spoken. And even while we use this name Jehovah today, we're saying something that we don't know anything about. It's just simple as that. Then we find out that one of the animals in the garden loaned his body to the evil one. Where's that found? What chapter is that in? Genesis 3 and verse 1, okay? Genesis 3 and verse 1. See that failure business down there? It says responsibility. Do not eat. But there was more than that. He was to take care of and guard the garden because that was his responsibility. Now the failure comes into view. Let's look at the failure. Now the Nahash. Nahash. That's the word for serpent. Nahash. That don't even sound good, does it? Nahash. The word Nahash in Hebrew means that it means the deceiving one. The deceptive one. Deceptive. Have you ever known anybody who was deceptive? Huh? Did you watch the television? Did you watch the president on television? How about some of these high criminals up there in high places, huh? Deceptive? Politicians? Look in your own local government right down here. Deception. Deceiving. Nahash. And look at the word now. We looked at that word in Genesis 1 and 2 there, the earth she became. Every time you see the word was in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Genesis, the word, there is no word was in Hebrew. Yet the word is became, not was. Was is something that continued for a while. Became is a change, isn't it? Now look at the Nahash there, the snake, the serpent. It says, now the serpent became more crafty. Now God didn't create him crafty. He became crafty. He became crafty. We talked about last week also about those hogs over there and near the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Did they have a choice when Jesus cast those demons into them? Huh? They chose not to live. They chose not to live. They drowned themselves in the Sea of Galilee. Yeah.
Yeah. Were they Hebrews or Jewish?
Probably.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Yeah, but they were selling to them Romans. They got mad at him too, didn't they? They got real mad. They, you know, God created the Jewish race. And he said, I'll bless you above all the families of the earth. That's absolute fact. You look back and they have made more money. They bought the land of Israel back. Did you know that? They bought that land literally back and they fought for it. They have fought for that land over there. They got the greatest military army in the world. The greatest soldiers. They're fighting, boy. Because God blesses them. Now, they may be wicked and evil. And you, when you go down to my wife, you know, when I go into a store or something, I jewel them. Well, that's a term we use for them. It came from their people. But they had the ability to make money because God gave it to them. He said, I'll bless you above all the families of the earth. By the way, the word earth there, or the families of the earth, that's the word Adam. Adam, the ground. Adam was going to go to the ground. He was going to die and go to the ground one of these days. He would. He was to be dirt. All right? He didn't came from it. He came from the same elements. But he was to be dirt. He said, I will bless you. Abraham, I'll bless you and your descendants above all of the descendants of the dirt. Oh, Adam. I'll bless you above them all. Well, they are crafty. That's the people, the nation of Israel. The platform of the Antichrist to come, you run right over here down this little old map there, and you see the Great Tribulation period there. See the age, the church age, you see the cross, and the church age, and the tribulation period. You know why that tribulation period there is? Is why it's there? It's to bring Israel back to God. It's to bring them back to God. That's the purpose of it. It's to bring them back to God so they'll surrender to Him. Well, this serpent here in Genesis 3 and 1 became more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, who said? The serpent. The serpent. He's talking to the woman. Have you ever had the angel ever had something? How about you? Have you had one talk to you lately, Joel?
I have one tell me to speak through it.
By his bright colors. By his bright colors.
I thought it was a coral snake, and they're deadly. I didn't know the coral snakes on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
It was a king snake.
Yeah. The reason why they look like a king snake is that so you'll stay away from them. You ever see a gopher snake rattle his tail like a rattlesnake? Yeah, they do. They'll rattle their tail just like a rattlesnake. They're imitating. They're deceiving you. You know what? It works. It works. They're deceptive, all right? But they became that way. And God created them that way, they were not. Okay? They became more crafty than any of the beasts of the field. Evidently, they were walking on legs. They must have had legs. A snake must have had legs. I don't know. Or they maybe looked like a lizard. I don't know. I don't know what he looked like.
You said because of the first baby.
Yes. He told him later on that he should walk on his belly. He says, walk on his belly, and that's exactly what a snake does, huh? They walk on the belly. And they eat. Everything they eat is in the dust of the ground. They can't get up and get it out of the dust of the ground anymore. They eat it right in the dirt.
That's a case for the match.
That he changed.
Okay.
Now remember, animals before the ark did not eat each other. After the ark, they ate each other. And the original creation of God, when Satan or Lucifer destroyed it, I believe they probably ate each other back then, the dinosaurs and stuff. And that world that we know, the old world, the world that was. But here at this time, they did not. They ate. Now, during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, look over there in number 7. See that kingdom restoration of Israel? Over there, that the lamb is going to lay down with the lion. Not inside of its belly. He's going to lay down. Because the lions are going to be eating grass again, just like the cows in the field. Now, before this, that they had a different digestive system. Do you know that a carnivore has a shorter intestinal tract than a vegetarian? I'm talking about all in all the animal kingdom. Now, let me tell you this. The Native American Indian ate a lot of meat. They have a shorter digestive tract than Caucasian. You know why there's so many, I found this out because I am one. You know why that there's so much diabetes among Native Americans? Because they changed their diet when they went on the reservations. They changed their diet from high protein to a high calorie fat and breads and stuff. They want that. They change. And the system could not change through. Digestive systems. Well, God's going to change the digestive system of the animals again after they come out of the ark. Then they began to fear each other, and they began to fear man. Before that, they communicated with man. Now, Eve was not all upset when the snake started talking to her. She just talked to that snake just like it was something she did every night. She wasn't crying, was she? Talking to her. What happened back in the garden? They communicated. More crafty than all the birds. And he said to the woman, the snake, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. You ever heard of the preaching devil? There he goes, right there. He's telling God's word, isn't he? But he's taking it and twisting up God's word. You know, there's a lot of people in the land today that there's a lot of cults out there. Cults. What is a cult? What? Yes. Mormonism. What a cult is that someone or a group of people that came literally Christ's place. Every religion named Christ, whether you're Buddhist or whatever, you name Christ as a prophet of God. But Christ was more than a prophet of God. He was God. He is our propitiation. He is our only way of salvation. If you take that away, then you have nothing. And that's deception. Christ is the only way there is to God. That's it. He's Jehovah in the flesh that came down to save us from ourselves. Basically. Indeed, God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And let's see what the woman says. And the woman says to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. Sure, we have lots of food to eat out there. All the animals are eating. We're eating. You're eating it. Of course. But Lucifer is speaking through this serpent, this Nahash, deceiving serpent, that became that way. All right? I'm not saying that animals have a say-so in salvation. I don't think there's any salvation in among them or anything like that. But they are part of God's creation. And you know when Moses was in Israel, or not Israel, but in Egypt, when the Lord called all the frogs didn't say, I ain't coming. They came, didn't they? How about the lice and the flies and the grasshoppers? They came, didn't they? God commanded them. They came. The animal kingdom will closely, more closely obey the God of heaven than the human race will follow. Very seldom do you ever see a dog leave his pups. But a lot of women walk off and leave their children. And garbage cans when they're born. That's a very unusual thing among in the animal kingdom. Animals don't go out and get drunk and beat up on their spouses. You know, they just don't do that, but humans do. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. Now she might have added a little bit there. Or she may not have. A lot of people say, what she added to the word? I don't know. Maybe added to the don't even touch that word. Don't even get near it. Don't touch it. Don't even think about it. As I tell my little girl sometimes, don't think about it. Don't even think about it. Don't ask me that. Just stay away from it. Don't eat from it. Don't touch it. What was that tree? What was that tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know what it was. I don't know whether it was an apple, a strawberry, or what it was. A fig tree? whatever it was. People have had all kinds of explanations for that. I don't know what it was. I don't have any idea. Maybe the Lord took it out of there after this. He just told them, don't eat from it. Adam may have told Eve, don't even touch it. Stay away from that place. God doesn't want us to do it.
I was going to ask, why would God place it there if he didn't want Eve to touch it? But I guess it's
a choice.
Why not? It's a choice.
God is sovereign, isn't he?
I guess I don't think that.
God is sovereign, isn't he?
Yeah.
I believe when he created man, he created him a sovereign being like him. With choice. Choice. That's how God gets the glory, if you choose. You choose to either call the little come or you choose to not come. You choose to serve him, you choose to not serve him. Choice. That is the most dangerous gift that God ever gave. That is dangerous. You try to raise your children to the point where they can make their own choices. You have to tell them what to do when they're little, don't you? But when they get bigger, then you hope that they will make the right choices. Or you don't have to be there and watch them every minute and say, don't touch that hot stove. That hot stove may be some gang member out here or somebody, some other bad thing, or drugs or alcohol or whatever. But whatever that bad thing is, you train them, hopefully, where they can make the right choices. And just do the best you can. You do the best you can. In the Bible, we're going to find out some real good men and women in the Bible had some real bad kids. And some real bad people had some real good kids. You know that happens. That's true. Sometimes you see a real good man that just pops out the worst kids you could ever think of. And a real bad man every now and then throws a good one. You don't have to do what your parents do. All you can do, because you have a responsibility to God, your responsibility, your stewardship, is to raise your children right. And you have a choice. Use this personal illustration. My birth father was killed when I was a little over 2 years old, robbing a liquor store in Long Beach, California. I jokingly say sometimes he died of lead poisoning, 45 caliber, but he did. That's a flat fact. He was a bad man. He sold cars for a living, chased women, had a lot of talents and stuff, but he just was no good. I could have gone like that. I could have just followed in his footsteps. But I did not do that. Because I had a choice. I had a choice. Every one of us had a choice. You don't have to go that way. Everybody always says that the devil made me do it, like what Flint Wilson did years ago. The devil, he might encourage you, but he doesn't make you do anything. He didn't make them take this tree right here. They did it because they wanted to. He enticed them, and they did it. You don't have to go the way that you've been raised. I was in a foreign environment. My daddy beat me, so what? God created you. You make the choice. No matter what mama did or what daddy did, you're responsible before God, regardless. But from the fruit of the tree, which is the middle of the garden, don't touch it, don't eat it. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. Not. He just keeps saying, no. God lied to you. God lied to you. You will not die. For God knows. Now he tries to make God look as the bad guy. He tries to turn and make God look like the enemy. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. you'll be like God. You know, have you ever heard of Garner Ted Armstrong? Herbert W. Armstrong and all of them? One of these days you're going to be a God. You'll be God. That's a cult, too. Believe it or not, even as nice looking as that man was, and they could really had a good program, neat looking things, that was a cult. Deception. What?
What's the name of their name?
Armstrong Church of God.
Worldwide Church of God.
I had a friend in that. He's the head of a... I've worked on him for about 4 or 5 years. Finally, he woke up one day. He was so glad to see the real grace of God. Just popped him a American Billy Bowls. He moved to Texas, became a cotton farmer. Now he's back there in Hawkins, Texas, running one of the largest Baptist church camps in the country back there. He's an administrator of that camp. He was caught up in that Armstrong Church of God. You be like God. Mormons think they're going to be God. Their gods are never going to be. They're a little ever God. They're, you know, Joseph Smith was God. And all of his descendants are little gods. They're all going to be gods one of these days. The only thing about it, Jehovah God, he's just got a head start on them. If they have enough time, they might catch up with him. And basically, you're not going to hear that preached in the church, but that's the doctrine of what they do. That's it. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, he said, God's a liar. God doesn't want you to know. He wants to keep you in the dark. He wants you to be dumb. Verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, look at that, the delight of her eyes, that it was good, it looked pretty, it was good to eat, yummy, yummy. Sometimes your eating gets you in trouble, doesn't it? Got me in trouble this last week. I got a bellyache because I ate what I wasn't supposed to eat. She saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes. You know, pleasures. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Then what did she do? Let me have it. Here, I'm ready. It didn't take that deceiving serpent long to convince her, did it? Why? She wanted to all along. She just wanted an excuse for it.
Well, I'm sitting there thinking, what must it sound like? You've got God saying, well, him saying, well, if you do, you'll be like God. And I can't help but think that that would be an obvious desire to be like your parent. You know,
be like God. Be like God. But see, isn't that what the cults, some of the cults teach?
That's what I mean. The lure is you be like God. That's naturally attractive.
Rosicrucianism. Rosicrucianism. That's like, what's that movie star? Our class is getting out late. That woman, movie star, Warren Beatty's sister. Can't think of her name. What? Shirley MacLaine. She believes in reincarnation. That word. Eternal spirits just going from one body to the next. This is another form of the same thing. Like gods. Like gods. And both the eyes of them with eight, and she took from his truth and ate, and then she gave to her husband also, and therefore we're coming back next week. Previews and coming attractions. We're going to look a little bit more about that. Thank you for coming today to the class. Hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that God blessed you with His Word today. Let's just be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you for your Word and for watching over us today. Please protect us this day and help us to honor and glorify you as we walk out of here, not ourselves, but you. In Jesus' name we pray. For your sake we ask it. For your honor and for your glory. Amen.
but they like it. Bring what you can, but they like it to focus on bread, dressing mix, and instant mashed potatoes. So that's all that I have. Thank you.
Well, let me, those that haven't been here, let me introduce you to the church just a little bit. Now, by the way, all over the church today, the classes on this morning and next Sunday are on stewardship. And guess what? We've been doing that every Sunday. Stewardship is we hear the word dispensation. How many of you ever heard the word dispensation? All right. Or dispensationalism. That means how that it is a study of how God dealt with man or with beings, angelic beings or whatever, in a certain dispensation or stewardship of time. Now we live in a dispensation or a stewardship of time today. How many of you, well, there's different terms for it. What are some of the terms for the period of time that we live in today?
Chaos.
That's one term.
Age. Church age.
What?
Age.
It's an age.
Church age.
The church age. The dispensation of grace.
Millennium.
Well, millennium, yeah, but that, we're not in the millennium right now. That
we
is
are
a
in a millennium, not the millennium.
We're in a millennium, all right. The church age has lasted almost two millenniums, hasn't it? Almost two millenniums. All right. And that's the church age right here. See where the cross is? I'm going to go over to the right. It says grace or church age. That's where we live in today. And we're going to talk a little bit about the church age today. Because that's... I didn't even get my lesson program from over there. I didn't know it until Friday, and I've been gone since Friday and Saturday. I wasn't even here in Bakersfield. So, I don't know what I'm supposed to teach this morning, but I know what I'm supposed to teach. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to teach.
Well, just teach where God comes from.
Yeah.
Then you're fine.
But I know it's on stewardship, and so we're going to talk a little bit about it. The Lord, when He came to this earth, there was a stewardship in place at that time. Stewardship was in place. A dispensation, or a stewardship was in place at the time that the Lord came on this earth. What dispensation or stewardship was that?
It was the one about Adam, right?
Well, no.
The law.
What?
The law.
The law. All right. Look back. Look over here. See, in your chart, we were studying back here where we actually are. We're not way up here. But since we're going to talk about stewardship in the church, all right, we're way back over here. We studied eternity past and how that God had to give us stewardship. There was a time, a period, a marked off piece of eternity where God gave a stewardship to whom? The first one. No, before Adam.
Lucifer.
Gabriel and Michael, they had stewardships back then over the spiritual kingdom of God. What is a kingdom?
It was everything.
Well, what is a kingdom?
It's
in a kingdom you have a
head.
You have a king, and you have servants, don't you? All right, in a kingdom. Now, back in eternity past, we know that one period of time there was only God. But then He created, as far as we can find out, one of the first things He created was angels. And we get the word angel from a Greek word called angelos. Angelos. What in the world does angelos mean?
I have not a clue.
Oh, come on, you Greek scholars here. We got some of you that take Greek. What does angelos mean? Our word angel comes right out of angelos.
Right.
Well, that Lucifer meant light carrier. What does angelos mean? What? Huh? Well, no. Angel means messenger.
Oh,
all right, messenger. All right. Our word angel comes right straight from the Greek word angelos. All right. And it means messenger. They're a messenger. Not only a messenger, but a messenger sent with authority and substance. All right. Angels. Angels were supposed to be messenger, servant beings of God. And by the way, they're servant beings of man. How many of you know about guardian angels and things like that?
Are they really for real?
For real?
You know, this angel thing has been taken to a thing that I don't really care for.
Every time that you see a truth in the world, some people are going to go through that. You know what that means? Going to see
them. They don't take it out the
page. Well, they just take it completely and exaggerate it. Human beings are exaggerate. They're prone to exaggeration and prone to extremism.
Because they don't know how to explain things, so they...
Yeah.
Now, they're
seeking
signs.
Oh, well, yeah. They're always seeking signs and wonders and looking for that guardian angel. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The guardian angels are here.
Yeah.
They're here.
But they're not in the way that those people... That some people perceive them.
Not in the way that some people perceive them.
See, I never thought it was... I'm sure that angels are around me, but I always thought it was God that really said, go do this.
Yeah. Well, I've
really
warned...
help me out.
I've warned a few of those angels out.
Well, you know...
Yeah.
Am I telling the truth, brother?
I think we all have, you know?
We have. I've kept them busy, keeping me alive. Through the things I've been through and times of my life. But,
I just tell you real quick the story that happened to me last week. I could have easily been stranded out in the middle of nowhere with my car, but through a series of circumstances, God led me to pick up my girlfriend, stay overnight in Rancho Mirage on Saturday when she came back to Texas. I drove up to the guard shack. My car was steaming. God provided a certified patient in the form of a security guard.
Yeah.
And he helped me convince me that I had to stay over till Monday and not to go to a gas station. And I mean, it was just like I could have been stranded on the home gas 2 or 3 times, and he knew that I needed to stay in Hot Springs. Isn't that something? I mean, it was just, except for the money part, the whole thing was miraculous.
Yeah. Well, God
so takes God
care.
Watches out for me.
God does take care of us. Parents. Thank you.
We have the Word of God to guide us, but when He convicts our heart.
So what happens? And the rest of the story about the church, and I didn't know why I did this. And I took my mother to his classes, and sitting in the doctor's office, and I was sitting there looking at that calendar, and I read the Bible. And anyway, on feeling the Bible,
how many of you are saved away from church?
Well, no, I was saved in church, but it really was revealed to me away from church.
Yeah.
I mean, it became very real.
Yeah. You.
It was after church.
Yeah, after church service.
I started thinking about it.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit follows us all.
The Holy Spirit, they followed you everywhere.
They followed you everywhere. Once it's in your life, in your heart, He's there with you forever and now on. There are angels. Get back to the angels. There are angels. The Holy Spirit works in your heart. And there are angels. If you read the book of Daniel, you'll find that Daniel prayed for knowledge, and that Gabriel was on his way to reveal to him. And by the way, Gabriel is the angel over the intellectual realm. And Lucifer was the angel or the messenger over the material realm of God. That's why he destroyed the earth and led to such chaos, and he rebelled.
And then we have Michael. Michael is over the spiritual realm of God, spiritual realm, spirit realm. That's the most powerful part of it. And when the angels rebelled against God, and if you look up here at the top of this little map of the sea, it says Satan's path. Look at that crooked, snaky line. See that? That goes all the way down to the lake of fire in the end. But you can read those verses there that go along with that. And you'll find that he deals with people. He deals with destruction. And he opposes the things of God. And as we... he goes down through there. Anyway, Daniel prayed. And Gabriel was on his way, but Lucifer withstood him. Now, that's an actual biblical fact that the Bible reveals to us this. He prayed, and it was like 2 weeks before he got an answer. Because Gabriel was withstood by Satan. But Michael came and rescued him. If you go to the... How many have you ever heard the book of Judas? Judas. Judas. Judas.
That is the book of Judas,
by the way.
Oh, that's right.
It was translated, the name was translated incorrectly. It's the book of Judas, actually. And that is, it means the praise of God. That was Jesus' half-brother that wrote that book, Jude, the book of Jude. All right, he had a half-brother, Mary's, one of Mary's children, all right, by Joseph. And anyway, he wrote that book. But in that book, it's a very small book. Just there aren't even chapters in there. It's just verses. But in that book, it tells you about the angelic forces of deep darkness. Deep darkness, it says. Sophon Scotia is what it says in the original language. Thick pea soup of darkness. The angels of the bottomless pit. Some of the angels were so evil that rebelled against God, that they are in darkness in the bottomless pits today. Did you know that? Study. They're held in darkness because they're too evil. When are they going to be turned out on the earth? They're in the tribulation period. They're going to be turned out on the earth to torment men. They have. I mean, we see evil things happening all over the land. Wait to the great tribulation period on this earth, and it'll be more horrible than anything, because there will be spirit beings turned loose that have never been turned loose on this earth before. Horrible, horrible things will happen during that period of time. And we talk about pollution. Talk about pollution today. Wait till you see the tribulation period. You're going to talk about pollution. Pollution. You know that the ocean cleans the whole earth. The ocean cleans the earth. Yeah. Purifier. It's like cutting a... How many of you have air filters in there? You turn all of it and have air filters in them, purifiers and things. Well, the ocean is like that. That's a natural air purifier. So without the ocean, the earth would putrefy. As God cleanses it. Well, you'll find out that a whole bunch of the ocean is destroyed. Polluted. It won't be working anymore. Things, terrible things happening at that time. Anyway, angels. We find that these spirit beings, some of them are in the emissaries of God, and some of them are emissaries of Satan. And what does the word Satan mean? Remember, we studied about the word Satan. His name was originally Lucifer, which means the carrier of light. And then his name became Satan and Diabolos. And many other names. He has a lot of names in the Bible. I wrote a book. By the way, I want you to get one of those books to you. Fernando, remember the book I used to teach on new converts classes? I printed that into a book. It's called The Doctrines of the Bible. I want you to get one of those to you to study. Anyway, in that book, I named the names of Satan in there and what they mean. Now, all of them mean someone that destroys. Satan means the one who opposes or stands against. That's what it means. Diabolos, that means to run through and chop up with a sword. That means to run through with a sword or to kill. And the man of destruction.
the liar. Doctrines of devils, it says, demons, demion. Demion in the Bible, that means a little god-like being. That means something that's very powerful. There are demons that are in Lucifer's army that are very powerful. Extremely powerful. More powerful than anything you, human is capable of doing. So you better thank God that, you're not being empowered by one of them today, as some people are in the earth. There is demonic influence. Talked about the king of Tyre in the Bible, the king of Tyre. Who was his god and who was behind him? Lucifer. Satan. Satan was him. And God used him as an exact example or a type of Satan himself. King of Babylon. Same thing.
Those individuals that go on a rampage, will they be
I think so. You know, if you study psychology and everything, I've talked to a lot of psychologists and things, and they say, don't quote me on saying this, but I believe in demon influence and demon possession, because that's not popular to believe in today. But it is truth, regardless. It's absolute truth. Demons do have influence in the world today. But without God's Holy Spirit in the world, what would this place be? When it's taken out before the tribulation period takes place, when he raptures all of God's people out, what's going to happen to the earth? It's going to be like instant poison, isn't it? Well, I mean, it's going to be bad. Well, angels, messengers, stewardship. We all, in the past, we see that Adam had a stewardship, didn't he? We're studying about Adam's stewardship in the garden. Then we talked about Noah and his stewardship. Noah and his stewardship, Noah was a big failure, wasn't he? He preached for 120 years and only had 7 converts. And a few animals.
But God had a plan.
But God had a plan. You know, I mean, today we would think he was an evangelistic prop, wouldn't we? He has 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And their 3 wives, and his wife is the only one that got on that ship. And the Bible talks about that ark as being a type in the church age today. There are so many going to get on the boat. The rest of them is going to be out there in the tribulation flood. All right? Well, we talked about the human government, and that was a failure, wasn't it? What happened? How did God judge human government? You know, after Noah landed that ark, or God landed the ark, and he got out of the ark, Noah got out of the ark, the people spread on the face of the earth. And what were they? They started building a tower, didn't they? The Tower of Babel. What does the word Babel mean? What? Confusion. All right. God told them, what did he tell? What was the basic instructions, command that God gave man at that period of time? You look down the old deal, we'll tell you.
You populate the world.
Scatter and multiply and populate the earth, and do not build cities. Do not build cities. Don't do it. Don't build cities. What happens in cities?
They start getting sin.
Yeah. Sin. When a lot of people get together, people start messing with other people. They're either stealing from them or manipulating them. Some way in the world. They're doing something to manipulate
the
world. That's all.
God
says, be nomadic. Be nomadic and depend upon me every day for what you have. All right, he said that. He scattered and multiplied, and he said, walk down the earth, is what he said. They didn't do it. They built a tower. Now, there was always a faith line. There were some of them that were doing it. But if they built a tower, Nimrod, all that
bunch. We're doing the same thing. We're moving away from the very...
Oh, yes. Well, we're people want to talk to God on the computer.
What?
Well, really, all the information, all the answers, you know, God is the only one who really has answers. But people are looking for that. answers. Man can give them answers. Man can't give you the answers.
Well, the thing is, the way you use the computer, you don't.
Well, I'm not talking about that. But that is a great facet of information.
Well, it is. Good and bad. Just like the newspaper or every other kind of communication.
Oh, yeah.
Even you and I talking.
Yeah. But people want all the answers. We're living in what we call a scientific age. If you can't prove it by science, then I don't want it. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there are people that are like that.
That is the age. That is the philosophy in this century. We're too mature and too intellectual and too educated for God.
Yet the people that are really working on all those answers, you know, and they agree.
Many
most of them believe.
Many of the scientists are Christian scientists. But you've got a few out here giving the rest of them that name. They're called evolutionists. You know, they believe in evolution and all that. Well, you know what? God does have an answer. It didn't evolve. Evolution has never been proven. We could go into that. We've studied a little bit in the first part of the book. And we're still in the first part of the lesson, so you're not too far behind. Let's get on a little bit further. We don't have too much. Half our class is already gone. But God dealt with Abraham. Remember Abraham? What was Abraham's original name?
He had his name changed. Remember?
His name changed.
Abram
was his name. What did Abram mean? In Hebrew, it meant exalted father. All right? But he was an exalted father, all right? But who was he a father of? Just his household with no kids. He had a man named Eliezer. And he says, Eliezer, I don't have any children. I think I'll give everything I have when I die to my top man, my top servant, which was Eliezer. Because he didn't have any children.
But he did have faith.
Yeah, he had faith in God. So he went out and his wife says, hey, I've got a Hagar, my handmaid, and this is a common thing back then. She said, you have a child by her. And so they have a child. And what was his name? Ishmael. A child with flesh. And God told Abraham, this is not the child. He got tired of waiting on God. He was waiting on prayers and God wasn't answering his prayers. Well, that was a child with flesh.
Sounds like that.
And then he had a child named what? His name was Laughter. Because he laughed at God. God says, you name that child Laughter because you laughed at me. His name was Isaac. And the word in Hebrew, Isaac, means laughter. Okay? Laughter. Because they laughed at God.